Hello and welcome to my podcast. My name is Shaden, and this is a recording of our Bible study at Hope Collective Church that meets every Wednesday at 6:30 in the evening. If you are in between ages 18 to 40 years old, you are welcome to join. But for now, please enjoy this week's episode.
The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the weeds also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?" He said to them, "An enemy has done this." The servant said to him, "Do you want us to then go and gather them up?" But he said, "No, lest while you gather the weeds, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, 'First gather together the weeds and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. The one who sows good seed is this. This is when Jesus is explaining the parable, right? Just like a few verses later, he starts to explain it. And this is found in verse 36 to 43. The one who sows good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let them hear." In those days, it was written in Roman law that you cannot go into someone else's field and throw weeds in their field. That was a common thing back in those days. Isn't that strange? People wanted to sabotage other people's fields so that they would have a better harvest. But also, it was the law in Leviticus. Okay, so technically, yes, it was also the law for these Jews, right? Again, their law is like Leviticus. They had to follow everything in Leviticus. You could not sow two types of seed in the same field. Interesting background, I guess, information. Not too important, but that's the context that Jesus is telling this parable in. And remember, when Jesus steps on the scene and he starts to share these parables and starts preaching, he's going against the grain. He's going against what's common knowledge in those days, right? He's challenging common beliefs, and that's why he upsetted so many people. And right here, he's challenging two very, very big, important things in the Jewish tradition. Jesus is talking to Jews. He's talking to believers. He's not talking to unbelievers. When you think of weeds and you think of wheat, you can easily think, okay, he's talking about people who believe in Jesus or believe in God and people who are atheists. That's not the case here. He's talking to believers, where everyone thinks that they're good wheat or good fruit. Again, this is why those people were so upset at him, because Jesus was challenging them. Two types of beliefs Jesus was challenging, and they are angels and what is called the conflagration. I don't know how to say that word correctly, but basically it's the fire and the burning, what we see like at the end times. Here in this parable, Jesus is saying something that is very striking. He is saying, "I have the authority to command angels." We missed that, I think, when we read this. We just kind of read, okay, cool, yeah, he's gonna command the angels to gather up, okay, cool. In those days, if you heard Jesus say that, people would automatically go, whoa, 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 that's blasphemy. He has the authority to command angels. Keep in mind, no one else has authority to command angels but God. So here, he is going, "I am somewhat equal to God. I am better than the prophets, more power than the angels." People in that room is going, oh, he's talking about some heavy stuff. People would kill people that would say stuff like this. You kind of know already what happens to Jesus. He was killed by his own people because he was talking like this. Another thing, in those days, they believed that the kingdom would occur after the burning and the fire and the getting rid of evil. Get rid of the bad guys, so to say, and then the kingdom of heaven would start. But here, Jesus is saying, no, the kingdom of heaven is now. And the burning and all the getting rid of the evil, that's actually going to come later. That's a big challenge to their belief, because they always believe we got to get rid of the enemy. We got to destroy the enemy. We have to destroy Rome. And you can now see why a lot of disciples left Jesus when things started to get kind of confusing. How is he going to destroy Rome, who is considered the evil ones, if he is arrested and on trial? You can kind of see now why many of the disciples left Jesus and many of the followers left Jesus. We need a Messiah that can destroy Rome so that the kingdom of heaven can come. And many people followed Jesus because they thought that he was going to be the leader that was going to destroy Rome. So the people who welcomed Jesus in Jerusalem, screaming, "Hosanna, the Messiah is here, Hosanna," just 4 days later, they started to scream, "Crucify him, crucify him, he's fake, he's a fraud." Because he's supposed to destroy evil, supposed to destroy Rome first, and he's not. In their minds, this parable should have been, the kingdom of heaven happens after the weeds are taken out and destroyed. Then the kingdom of heaven happens. That's not what happens here. And then here, right, there's some verbiage in there. Sons of the enemy, sons of Satan, and sons of God. And he says, Jesus says this again in another time, John chapter 8, verse 44. When you read that, who do you think he's talking to? Who automatically would come to your mind right now? Probably maybe drug addicts, murderers, rapists, Hitler, people who are selling children around the world, right? I mean, yeah, that's super evil. I'm not going to discredit that at all. In the gospel, when Jesus calls someone sons of the devil, he's talking to believers. John chapter 8, verse 44. Here, Jesus is speaking about true children. And you might think, true children of God are those who never sin, those who go to church every Sunday, those who pray all the time, those who memorize scriptures. We talked about this last week, too, a little bit. You can be sons of God and do all those things. That's good. And yes, the sons of the enemy do evil things. But here, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendant, yet you are ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you do what you have heard from your father." Abraham is our father, they said. Basically, they're saying, we are Christians. We're godly people. They didn't say Christians, but we're the godly people. We're the chosen ones. We do everything right. Our fathers and our fathers' fathers and our fathers' 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 fathers', fathers all up to Abraham have passed down through generation the right way of living with God. We have got it right. We're doing everything right. And Jesus says, if you were Abraham's children, then you would do the things Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the things your own father does. And it goes on, we are not illegitimate children. What are you talking about, Jesus? We're godly people. Jesus says, if God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and now am here. If God were your father, you would love me. That's the bottom line. Sons of Satan or sons of God boils down to, do you love Jesus? And if you love him, you would follow him. You would listen to him. You would do your best to obey him. These people had an agenda. The people that are considered weeds in the parable, they were religious people with an agenda. A lot of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious people, they liked the way that religion treats them. It feels good. I'm going to tell you right now, when you're in the Christian pedestal, it feels great. I'm going to be completely honest with you. For years, I loved coming back to Kauai and people saying, "Oh my God, you're that missionary." It feels so good until it stopped feeling good. It's until I started to realize, wow, I love this attention because it makes me feel so good about myself. Maybe 2 years later of moving to Africa, I had panic attacks. I had insomnia. When I would come back to Kauai and I would go to Costco, I would have panic attacks in Costco because I did not want anyone to see me and say, Shaden, aren't you that missionary? I would do everything I can to avoid anyone in public spaces because I got the guilt of what's your motives here? Why are you really in Africa? Is it really to do my will because you love me or because you love the attention? I love posting photos of black and brown kids and getting likes on Instagram. It makes you feel so good. I love the attention. I could speak at any church I want and raise all the money I needed for whatever I needed. So easy. Even here, we come every week. And I like seeing a lot of people in this room, and it reflects back on me. Even on Sunday mornings, people say things like, wow, you have so many people coming. And I'm like, ugh, because it's so easy to get caught up in this is about me. Listen to my podcast, come to my 1840 study. Really? Is it about this or is it about Jesus? When I go home after this, do I really love Jesus? Tomorrow when I wake up in the morning, do I really love Jesus? Do I really want to follow him? And I'm talking about me because I don't want to, if I say you guys, it can be, I don't want to offend anybody. So I'm using me as an example. But when I start praying and studying about this, am I going, okay, what's the super clever thing that I can say that will make people go, wow, that was awesome. What can I say to make sure that they come back next week? As a leader, I think about those things. Maybe it's okay in some sense, but sometimes it's like, is it really about making sure this room is full of people? Is it really about making sure that the church that pays me, that I'm showing them that I'm doing my job by making sure this place is full? Or is it about making sure people love Jesus, that they know Jesus, they want to become like Jesus, and they want to do the Father's will? The sons of the devil can be people who study the Bible. They can be people who memorize scriptures. They can be people who go to church every Sunday. The only thing that differentiates the son of devil to the son of God are those who love Jesus. That's the bottom line. Let's go back to the destruction of weeds, okay? Again, in those days, they believed that there needs to be the destruction of either Rome or the enemy, right? Because if you look in the Old Testament is full of those like barbaric, almost like barbaric practices of like wiping people out of the face of the earth. The reason why I say that is because they kind of have that mindset. We have to remember the Jews in those days had that mindset that that's what God's going to do. When the Messiah shows up, he's going to show up and they're going to obliterate and kill everybody and get rid of everyone that does evil. So there's this one story in Luke chapter 9. You can go there if you want. Luke chapter 9, verse 51 to 56. Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem. And as he's going to Jerusalem, they were going to stop in a small little village in Samaria. And so Jesus is like, okay, yeah, go and get it ready. So people go, and they found out that that city or that village or whatever does not want Jesus, right? And they're like, should we call down fire and destruction and have them killed? They wanted to call down fire from heaven to destroy that city. Drop a bomb on that evil group of people is basically today's language, right? And Jesus rebukes them, which is strange because they're thinking, wait, isn't that going to be your job though as a Messiah? As the Messiah, aren't you supposed to like raise up and destroy the evil ones? It is not Jesus' agenda. It seems like it's not his agenda to destroy humans that are evil. Maybe when he returns, I'm not going to get into eschatology at the moment. I don't think I ever want to ever. But it seems like as Jesus is walking on earth, he's not about killing evil people. That is very strange for these people in those days because that's what the Messiah is supposed to do. Now it starts to make sense why he said this parable. No, we're not going to destroy them right now. They're going to be alive and growing with you. And I want to end with this quote. We cannot be tolerant of evil, but the destruction of all evil is not our task. We must stop being evil, and we must stop evil from destroying. But how can we stop evil without becoming evil in the process? That may well be the human question. That is so good. How can we stop evil without becoming evil in the process? There is a lot of evil in this world. There's a lot of evil people in this world. I don't want to discredit that at all. But we become evil when we decide to destroy them. I don't know if God wants us to drop bombs on people who we considered evil, but my gut feeling is no. Yeah, those guys who hijacked the planes and put planes into the towers, terrible. But did we really respond the right way when we sent bombs that direction and killing thousands and thousands of people, destroying cities and towns? That's what those disciples wanted to do back then. Jesus, we should just bring down hell upon them and destroy them all. Today, that would be like us saying we should drop some bombs on that village and just destroy all the terrorists. And Jesus rebuked them.
Thank you for listening to this week's Bible study at Hope Collective Church. Feel free to join us next Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. if you are in between ages 18 to 40, or join our Sunday morning service at 8 or 9:30. See you next time.